Welcome to the Fixed Ops Roundtable podcast, featuring Ted Ings and his distinguished guests. Each week, you'll gain valuable insights to level up your game in retail automotive's fixed operations. This episode is brought to you by BG Products, partners beyond product. And now, here's Ted Ames.
Welcome back to the Fixed Ops Roundtable. Don Hall is with us. He is the president and CEO of the Virginia Automotive Dealers Association, a great friend of the dealer and the retail community. Don, welcome to the Fixed Ops Roundtable.
Ted, thanks a lot. It's good to be here, and it's good to talk to your friends and your audience today as well.
Don, you've got an exceptional background, and the work you're doing there in Virginia is amazing. You've got a retail background, and you've headed up that association for a long time, and I look forward to this opportunity and being able to ask you a few questions today. And also, you know, coming on the heels of Veterans Day just a few days ago, thank you for your service to our country as well.
Ted, thank you very much. I think my background is unique, but that uniqueness is available to anybody who pursues the automotive career as a landing place and a longtime commitment. There are unique opportunities within our industry, and I am grateful having served the United States Marine Corps as a young man, 4 years in active duty in the infantry back in the early 70s, and it made me who I am today. So, Semper Fidelis, thank you for the comment very much.
You and I were talking in the green room just before we got started, and it's amazing. Our business is about cars, but really, deep down, it's about the people. And you're so observant in some of the comments that you made. And perhaps you'd like to talk a little bit about that before I ask you a few questions here today.
I've had the privilege, Ted, of working with the auto dealers for a long period of time. And one thing I, you know, over the years, they talk about the various assets that they have, the facilities, the franchise, and so forth. The reality is this, and I think the smarter dealers in this country know this very well. Our biggest asset are the people who work for us day in and day out. And therefore, they're the ones we should be doing the most for. A happy employee or associate in your dealership organization will mean a happy customer who comes back for many things, to include future cars, used cars, and more importantly, as importantly, service work as well. So it's important to have a happy workforce because you'll have happy customers.
So true. And I think we're at a unique position in our industry. You and I have both been in for a long time. I cannot recall, Don, a time like this where there are so many things happening at once and so many forces at work. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that today, if I could, here at the roundtable. First of all, you personally, can you paint a picture of how you think our industry is going to change over the next, let's say, 5 years? What's ahead for us?
I think, Ted, before I get into that, let me just say that change for change's sake is never good. The change our industry is going through is exciting. And if I were a young man today in this business, I would be very excited with the opportunities, not only with technology and what it can do for us, how it can make a better buying experience, but also with me as a member of a great organization and the opportunities to grow within that organization. So what a great time to be in this industry. Bravo, embrace it, celebrate it, and understand clearly that we are evolving. But we're evolving in a way that we're going to be having great customer buying experiences, great customer service experiences. The customer wins, and we win because of happy customers is how we all get paid. So I think the times right now are indeed changing, but why not embrace that? And more importantly, not to offend anybody, but if change doesn't excite you and you're at an age or a stage in life where you really don't want to make changes, what a great time to sell out. It's a great time to move on and allow those who understand that change is here and change is what's going to make us a better industry and allow us to do a better job for all concerned. So it is an exciting time right now, but certainly we're under great changes as we speak.
Don, just to provide a little bit of color for the audience, the Virginia Automobile Dealers Association, approximately how many retailers in your association there in that state?
We're close to 500 car dealerships, new car dealerships and truck dealerships in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We're selling new and used vehicles, well over 1 million, 2 million, three, some years more than that, new and used cars under normal circumstances. So it's a thriving business. We have the Northern Virginia sector, which is huge dealerships. We've got the Hampton Roads sector, which is huge dealerships, Central Virginia into Richmond, and then out in the Southwest in Roanoke and those areas also are large organizations throughout Virginia.
A lot of dealers from the Commonwealth have been involved in the roundtable. You and I spoke briefly before we got started today about Liza Borges, and I understand that you know Carter, her father as well, and father.
Liza represents really what I call the tip of the spear, and I say that in a positive way. She is embracing change. She one of the few, and in fact, very few dealership organizations in the country that's an ESOP, employee stock option program, where her employees own part of that organization. And so they truly are selling cars. And I'm a firm believer that if you're really good in this business, you ought to be entrepreneurial-like to begin with. I may work for XY dealer, but I'm an entrepreneur who works for that dealer. And when you do that, you're above average. When you do that, you excel. And you do that, you reach your personal and professional goals. And I think Liza is someone who really facilitates that philosophy. I have other dealers in Virginia doing the same, but she has certainly led the way with her now probably 1,400 associates working the various dealerships that she owns in West Virginia, Virginia, and now in Maryland.
And what a great proponent for the career path in our industry. I know that Liza did some work for the manufacturer side some years ago, but also promoting women in retail automotive. And here you have Liza, very forward-thinking, as you said, and really embracing all the change and really championing that as well. Looking ahead here, Don, are there things right now that you feel that are not fully understood or really underappreciated by either the industry or the dealer community more broadly at this time?
Well, first and foremost, I would say that, you know, you're hearing me speak as an association guy, and to some degree, you might say, well, what does he know? I mean, he's an association guy. He doesn't work the hours I work. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. Well, the truth is, no, I do all of the above. In my particular case, I'm one of the very few in the country that have had this background. As you indicated earlier, I worked in the retail car business for 8 years. Coincidentally, worked for Liza's father long ago in this business. And as a result of all of that, this business is such where you ought to be involved in your associations these days, whether it's passing legislation or making sure the regulations that are going on are fair and equitable to those working in the business. But also associations are out selling the following message to dealerships. Your number one asset are your people. Take care of your people. You might make a little less money, but provide your people with a benefit structure that is something that you can be proud of and they're proud of. You know, it's not uncommon in big cities like Richmond and many other big cities throughout the nation. When you start a job, you start with 3 weeks on day one. You know, I still have many, many car dealerships that give 2 weeks after your first complete year of employment. And God forbid if you ever took 2 weeks consecutive or even a week consecutive, hardly. And ladies and gentlemen, we have got to change that mentality. We're not going to attract young people to invest in our business and be part of this industry and to give what it takes. And yes, Liza, your earlier comment is so true. She wants to employ, you know, women and people of color, minorities and so forth at the highest levels in her organization. We should be doing that everywhere in the country, but we need to understand clearly this. We're all parents. Many of us are. I certainly am one. We have children. In my case, I have grandchildren. We need to have time to be there for our kids' activities. We have single parents in our ranks. We need to make sure they have time to do the things they need to do, whether it's dealing with kids, taking them to the ER room, or they got a soccer game. We need to care about our people. In doing so, you'll have a much better experience. You may make a tad bit less money initially, but long-term wise, you will do so incredibly well as an organization. And Ted, let me say this to you. I know what I'm saying is factual. I've got some dealers and dealer friends throughout the nation that have done this, and they have seen the return on their investment tenfold. Care about your people. Give them things that maybe hurts initially. Yes, we got to get more benefits. Yes, we've got to change our vacation policy. Yes, we need to be understanding of single parents and parents that need to be involved with kids' activities. Do those things. Your turnover will be cut back extensively, and you'll have a workforce that loves dealing with the customers that you've paid to come into your dealerships.
Don, we agree. It's a longer term play, but it really comes back to that word culture. We're hearing that a lot now in the industry, the focus on dealership culture. And really, that's something we didn't hear. I know you and I in the industry many years ago, but now it's really risen. And with a lot of the issues that have come upon us in the last 5, 10, 15 years, technicians and, you know, how do I grow my people? It really comes back to setting that culture, starting at the top of the organization.
I love hearing when the sons and daughters are taking over for their parents and how those sons and daughters are bringing in these new changes. I've gotten to know the Flow Automotive Group very well. And Eric Flow is, he and his father have dealerships now in Virginia. They coincidentally went to UVA long ago. Both of them did. And I love hearing Eric talk about some of the things that they're proposing within the Flow Automotive Group that are cutting edge. And this is what, again, excites people. It's why people want to come to work for you, because you're doing things out of the norm and you're doing things that are beneficial to those folks who work so hard in your organization. So bravo, keep pushing mom and dad and let them know that you're not crazy, that yes, it may not be the way that we've historically done business, but we must embrace change. And your earlier question, change is upon us. And in this case, this is change that is good and should be embraced. Technology is here. We have a lot of friends out here that provide various technological tools available to us in our dealerships that make us better. Embrace it, because it does make us better. It will shorten the buying process for customers. It'll make things easier for disclosure purposes and so forth. We've got the Fed clamping down on us hard right now in the F&I departments. And we've got to do things differently so that the Fed doesn't put us out of the business. And don't think for a minute, if they have a choice, they will. And so we've got to make sure that we're doing things right. And technology helps us get better at our game.
Very well said. You know, speaking of change, I want to ask you a little bit about EVs. The state of EVs, that business there in Virginia, and what bottlenecks, if any, do you see hampering the adoption of EVs over the next 10 years? And, you know, what do you foresee? Because we've seen a lot of projections on EVs. We've seen them selling briskly in some states, but now we're starting to see inventories of EVs starting to multiply and stack up around the country. What are your thoughts there?
Ted, one of the blessings of my job is I've spent 36 years, you know, here at the VADA, but I've also been the chief lobbyist for 36 years. So I've been involved with legislators in Virginia for a long time, to include some lobbying even on the Hill in Washington, D.C. The driving of EVs is a political decision made out of Washington, D.C. And I have dealers say to me all the time, Don, customers don't want EVs. They're not asking for them. We don't have the infrastructure. We don't have this. We can't do it. We need to change it in Virginia where we can only sell ICE and not sell EVs. Your OEM, ladies and gentlemen, are under the same pressure, whether they're under CARB states or the federal standards that have been ratcheted up and are much more difficult, frankly, even than the CARB standards currently. As a result, the OEMs have no choice. It's not so much, and they're trying to slow down as we speak, but pressure on them is going to make it tough, because Washington, D.C., elections have consequences. And Washington has made the decision. And as long as the White House is controlled by the current party, this is not a Republican or Democrat statement, it is a fact that we are going to have EVs. And that's what's going to happen. And the OEMs are going to have to do it. Now, my dealers say, but nobody wants to buy them. If you don't have ICE available to you, what choice do you have? Ted, in your early days in this business and my early days in this business, one of the reasons we love this business is no matter what times we went through, we've been through recessions, both of us have, in the course of our careers. Car dealers are unique. They always land on their feet. Even when regulators come in and make drastic, dramatic, harsh changes, car dealers manage to make a lemon into lemonade. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the EV world. At the end of the day, if I have my dream, we'd be EV, we'd be hybrid, we would be hydrogen, and we'd be ICE if I had my way. But I don't get to make those decisions. And unfortunately, right now, with the environmental community controlling Washington, D.C., we are being compelled to sell EVs. Now, people will say, well, what if, you know, the presidency changes to the other party? And what if the Republicans control the Senate and they keep the House? Would things change? The answer would be, sure they would. And for how long? For as long as they're in control. And then they'll come right back. EVs will be a part of our life. Part of the problem is you go to a dealership, and if you've got cars on the lot, you're going to sell what you have on the lot at the end of the day. And so we've got to convince people. Now, coincidentally, we bought an EV here at the Virginia Auto Dealers Association, and we wrapped it. And it says, go to your local new car dealer to buy your EV today. And it's a website, and it's been totally wrapped. It's an ID4 VW. I drive it a lot. It's a fun car to drive in town. You know, maybe up to Fredericksburg, to Charlottesville, down to Hampton Roads, but in town, in that area, I drive it. And they're fun cars. And people that drive locally, it's going to be a fun car. The concern I have, of course, is price. But at the same time, aren't all cars $50,000 or more these days? Yes. Do we have a problem with extending the terms on loans? Yes. Do we want that to happen? No, because then everybody's upside down in the trade. We'll never get them out of the trade with 8-year financing and 7-year financing. And so we've got to figure this out. And there are smart people in our industry that can help us figure this out. But EVs are here. They're not going away. They will be part of our culture, even if there's a pause hit because Republicans take back. They're not going away. And the OEMs, no matter what we think of OEMs, the fact is they're being compelled to do it, because if they don't, they're going to be penalized heavily by California Air Resource Board or the federal government. So we're sort of, for lack of a better term, not negative. We're stuck with them. But guess what? They're a hell of a lot of fun to drive. And we need to embrace it and recognize they're not going to go away. No matter who's in charge, they're here to stay.
You know, back to your earlier statement, Don, the dealers have really proven to be resistant time after time, especially, I mean, who could have forecasted these last 3 years? Nobody could have imagined it. It would have been a book that you said possibly couldn't have happened, any of these things. But look at how the dealers have been, have come back. And you know what? You're right. The dealers figure it out. We figure it out every time. And I don't know another industry, Don, that has come back and has proven to be as resilient as the automobile dealer here in the United States.
It is the reason that I've got my 40-some years in this business, and I hope to have many more to come, because I love, it's infectious, ladies and gentlemen, the resiliency of this business. They're positive people who say, it may be a lemon, I may not like it, but damn if it's going to stop me. We're going to get excited and we're going to make a difference. And no matter, and I've been through recessions. And I'll tell you something, Ted, this is an important point. Even through recessions, cars are sold. The question is, are you getting your percentage? Are you out prospecting? Are you out talking to people? Even during the pandemic, people had to have cars serviced. Did you go out and work people to come into your dealership because your service facility is open? The people that are out here that get the mission and get the opportunities, even with it being a lemon initially, are the ones who do well. And that's what this industry is about. And the better ones really shine. And resiliency is really our motto. It's our theme. And God bless the industry for being that way, because it's a fun business to be around people who never allow negatives to hang very long in their life. And let's move on and make it a positive day.
Don, I want to ask you a little bit about vehicle software. We've had a lot of discussion at the Fixed Ops Roundtable about all the changes that have happened, that are happening now, and that are coming. Looking at that model, because ultimately, a lot of dealers figure that's going to become and is now a big issue. And I know at the association level, that's something that you and your peers are championing and looking at and, guiding the dealers on. Talk to us a little bit about vehicle software and the profits, who gets that, and maybe what some of your concerns and some of your feelings are there.
I think in a perfect world, manufacturers think, thought, and maybe desire to be a little bit like Mr. Musk, meaning I control that, the money all funnels back to me. I'm the owner, I'm the producer, I'm the one who sells them. And so they see this opportunity being made because, as you know, when you buy a Tesla, there's many things on that Tesla don't actually work unless you pay a monthly subscription for those items. And so it's another whole profit center coming in. Many of us, including Virginia, have passed laws dealing with this. I would say some of my peers have done a okay job. I'm not sure why they did it job. And a few have done an outstanding job with it. I am of the opinion that OEMs are not stupid. And they get the game. It may make time and knots to some degree, but the reality is that somebody has to sell the various options that exist on these cars that become truly optional. and somebody's going to have to sell that. And one thing about our business is we do well with incentives. And who created that? The OEMs did a long time ago. They incentivize us to do things. Even when nothing's moving, they incentivize us. We make it happen. So it doesn't long-term wise meet their needs and their demands in terms of they're going to have to incentivize us. They're going to have to share properly in that. Now, having said that, let me tell you what Republicans and the Virginia General Assembly and Democrats both say when I talk about this issue. I think it's worthy of hearing this. When you tell them that a car that will be sold to them is basically a loaded up car, however, you're going to have to pay an extra $30 a month or $35 a month in order to have various options on that car working. You may get them for free initially to sort of get you excited and whet your appetite for them, and then they shut down and now you got to pay monthly to do that. It frustrates legislators when they hear this. What? You mean that $600 a month car payment's not going to cover that? No, it is not. You mean I got to pay for my fob to work remotely to start? Yes, it does. My heated seats, this, that, and so forth? Yes, it does. That there's a good chance if the OEMs aren't smart about this, they're going to be slammed hard. So OEMs that are listening today, take care of your partners, the auto dealers, and make sure you share with them so that we can come up with some ingenious ways through technology to deliver these services and figure out ways to finance these services, oh, by the way, so the customers can indeed afford them and so forth. And you need us to do that. Do it without us and watch the ire and the anger of legislators nationwide who say, I pay for a fully loaded car, but I only get to use certain features unless I pay extra. That is not sellable. Take care of your car dealers and we'll make it a pleasant lemonade that you're consuming rather than a lemon.
Don, great advice. Everybody, we're speaking to Don Hall. He's the president and CEO of the Virginia Automobile Dealers Association. Don, last question for today. Here we are in the middle of November, just a week before Thanksgiving. We're in the fourth quarter, looking out over to the balance of 2023 and now preparing for 2024. A lot of folks are putting their plans together. What changes, what fundamental changes do you think dealers will need to make to their business model to be successful, not only next year, okay, but over the next 5 and 10 years? What are some of the things we should be looking out for that we may not be thinking quite so hard about right now? What are the things that we should be concerned about?
And one of the functions of getting older is you become more reflective of life. And as a young person, I would have never related or understood this comment, but maybe young people watching today will. First of all, take a couple minutes with your family and friends and give thanks for what we have as American citizens. As we see the turmoil in this world going on, it's important that we appreciate and understand what we have and oftentimes take for granted. And our responsibility sometimes doesn't sit well with us, but we are having to be out in the world and make a difference to help others have the same kinds of freedoms, freedom of choice that we have. To answer your question specifically, consolidation is here, folks. It's not going to go away. Bigger, one of the few times of life I'll ever admit this, bigger might be better. And bigger is the reality of life. And so for those who are not willing to embrace change, meaning technology, and willing to grow their footprint in terms of their organizations, you know, they're dying on the vine and may not want to recognize that. The fact is that again, people are our greatest asset. And as we continue to grow as an industry, it will change things. Opportunities for ownership may not be the same with Publix and so forth, obviously, but opportunities to grow within those organizations is incredible. And to work in different parts of the country, whether it be as a technician, you know, in the parts department or in the sales area and so forth. So they're going to give great opportunities. So I think the thing we have to do is this: recognize that our business is changing rapidly. There's nothing you can do to change that. And you're going to have to be competitive. And today with bigger, they buy a lot of things for less money. They pay for a lot of technology for less money because they're so large. These days, as we know, they even get cars at a different price oftentimes with a lot of OEMs. And so it is harder. So if you're smaller, you're going to have to be on the cutting edge. You're going to have to be able to tell a story as to why coming to your dealership is the place to come to and why it's a unique buying experience and why you give service beyond the sale and what you do in that community matters and things of that sort. But I think more than anything else, I think if I'm going into 24, I want to be really smart. I want to go to NADA And I want to look at some of those folks with those various booths, if you will, and look at things not to just spend money or glitz and glamour, but things that will make me better at what I do. And to put your head in the sand and say, no, you know, my father ran it this way and I'm going to run this way. I'm 65 and I'm going to stay the way I am until my son or daughter takes it over in the next 3 years. You're hurting your son and daughter, folks, if that's your mentality. So go out and embrace the partners who bring in things that make you more effective, efficient, to make the buying experience quicker, more seamless, and to frankly, lack of a better word, more honest, and so forth. I think those kinds of strategies, and recognize that's how you're going to compete in 24. You cannot stay as you have been and assume that it's going to be a great 24. And whether we have product issues, we have union strikes or whatever else, there are cars and trucks still being sold. And you, with the right attitude, the right workforce, the right mentality, the right philosophy, and so forth, can and will do more than your fair share, even in the toughest of times. So 24 will be a great year for this industry. And again, on behalf of Ted and myself, all of us, we wish we could be your age in a business that is evolving so rapidly, because it's exciting times going forward. And 24 will be a great year in the auto industry.
Don Hall, a breath of fresh air, a great friend of the dealer. Don, on behalf of the Fixed Ops Roundtable, I want to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving next week. And thank you for all you do for our industry.
To you as well. Thank you.
Everybody, Don Hall, he's the president and the CEO of the Virginia Automobile Dealers Association, here with us today at the Fixed Ops Roundtable.